Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6 for just a little bit. Hallelujah. Just want to remind us of our weaponry. Hallelujah. Holy, holy, holy. I don't know the words. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Most powerful time I ever heard that song was in October of 97. There was about 13 of us men from this church got on a bus and went to Washington, D.C. And we pulled into the Pentagon parking lot at about 3 o'clock in the morning, tired. Got out of the bus and went to walk towards the mall. And we got to the Lincoln Memorial to start with. It was about 3 o'clock in the morning. We crossed the, I think it was the Potomac. You crossed there, that bridge. And we walked over and all these Hispanic guys with me were looking at the, and a few whites, and didn't matter. We're looking at the Lincoln Memorial, and there's a mall's about a mile long, and we got right up front. It was the Promise Keepers Million Man attendance, whatever we had, a million man. And there was a million, I think it was a million men that between 3 o'clock and the sunrise come in there. I don't know if you've ever been in a crowd of a million people before, but that's a lot of people. And there was no place to sleep. We just laid down on the ground, and the dew covered us. And but as the sun was coming up, right, we were right in front of the Capitol, and there was a stage there and a big screen, and they had, the sun was coming up, and a million of us guys began to sing, "Holy, holy, holy." My God. I thought I was in heaven. It was amazing. And just to remember. But this chapter here, Ephesians chapter 6, talks about what we wrestle against. And I know that we wrestle against those kinds of things that it begins to list here, because as I was thinking about that particular song and that particular event, there was 13 of us, 12 men went with me. I didn't think of it like that, but Jesus and his 12 disciples. But there's a warfare, because only one of those men are still here, at least in the church. Now, some of them, there may be a few of them that are still serving the Lord, I hope, or have regained their composure in the Spirit. But to let you know that there's a battle, that's to say the least. And just because you're with him today don't mean you're going to be with him 5 years from now, unless you keep doing tomorrow what got you here today. Amen? Because those other 11 men, well, like I say, a few of them may be serving Christ still, and I'm sure some of them are. But all of them were going here at one time. And pretty much all of them, I think. But there's a battle out there. And don't ever underestimate who we're warring against. Now, the Word says the weaponry, or the weapons of our warfare are mighty. They are mighty through God. But don't ever begin to believe that your self-will or your own determination or even the place that you have today. I'm not saying this to scare you. I'm just saying this is part of our enlightenment to go forward. This is part of our understanding to say, look, get in the Word, get in the Spirit, and stay in the Spirit. And also, you have to understand something. Nobody ever falls away overnight. Nobody. It's impossible. It takes sometimes years. But praise God for the blood of Jesus. Because what took sometimes years to debilitate can be restored just like that. Hallelujah. That's how much more powerful the kingdom of light is than darkness. Because at a moment's time, you just bend your knee and say, okay, God, I'm ready to get back where I was at. And one of the things that Satan does with a lot of people is that he makes them think that they've got to serve a penance. They've got to go through some kind of, there's no penance. I mean, the moment that you say, I want it now and I want it just, the Word says in Psalms 23 that He restores your soul. That word means, the word restore means to turn back. He'll turn back everything. And He not only puts you back to where it was, He'll put you back to a better place. Hallelujah. Because we're going higher and higher. Verse 10 in Ephesians 6 says this, and we're just reminding you. Finally, my brethren, based on everything that the last 5.5 chapters or 6 chapters has said, and we really did a study on Ephesians a few years ago, and everything that is leading up to the weaponry or to the armor of God is all the characteristics that are formed in us by the first 5.5 or 6 chapters of Ephesians. You can find everything in there. It's not like you get up in the morning and dress yourself and say, I'm going to put on these things. That's child's play. But what it is what he begins to list here is the real character of God and the power of God that is formed through walking a walk of the Spirit. And he says here, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now that word devil will remind you again is the word diablo, which means Mr. Penetration, or means penetration. We said Mr., gave him a subtitle. But the picture, what I understand of those who have studied it or said that they have read it, that the picture in the original is one who wears out. It's a picture of, it's like a drop of water falling on a piece of granite, and over a long period of time, that thing will talk you into, or emotionalize you into, or even indoctrinate you into being something that you thought you never would or become a part of. But we have the wisdom of God right here in this chapter. Hallelujah. We stand against the wiles of the devil, he says here, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Because of this, wherefore, in other words, because of this, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, do what? Stand. In other words, having done everything, put everything into effect, done all of everything that was leading up to these things, these weapons, or this armament, we were supposed to stand in the evil day. And I don't know if you've noticed it or not, sometimes they seem like they're increasing. But there's a dichotomy. There's something really strange going on. In the midst of what would be termed evil days or even attacks on you, there is a peace. There can be a peace. It's up to us to choose to walk in it. He says, in the evil day, having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins what? Girt about with truth. We could go into all of any of these and get kind of preachy for a while, but we've covered most all of them many times before in the past. And having on the breastplate of righteousness and your feet, he says in verse 15, let's just pick on this one just for a little bit. Your feet shod with a preparation of the what? One of the ways that you're going to be able to best defeat him, and this is one of the ways that we have to remind ourselves, myself included, all the time, is to walk in the peace of God. Let the peace of God become the deciding factor. Let that soul harmony which comes through the peace of God. In other words, if you are walking in him and you're spending time in his presence, if you're not, then you're still a son or daughter if you've been born again. But growing in God is also growing in peace. Jesus said in John 14, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, give I unto you. My peace I give unto you. In other words, his peace is something that doesn't come from the world. It comes from the Spirit. Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So what we have to go by, the divine compass, the GPS, is spending time in his presence and then not making a head decision, but a heart decision. Following God according to peace. Following God according to, he says, let the gospel of peace. There's a good news of peace. Now, I know the gospel is a gospel of peace, but there, the word gospel here means good news. In other words, everything in our life should be governed by walking in a place of, how do you feel on the inside? What's that peace? From the very beginning of my little girl's life, when they got big enough to understand, and we got them praying in the Holy Ghost, and we got them born again, we'd teach them, you know, we know it's not really literally your belly, but we'd say, listen, if you ever have a funny feeling in your belly, if you ever have that kind of feeling, you know, like something is not right, then come tell mama or come tell daddy. And wherever you're at, no matter who you're with, if something goes off on the inside, we used to teach him that. We used to teach him how to walk in a place of peace. And you need to teach your children to grow up understanding that there's a place of interruption. Sometimes if the peace gets interrupted, if there's something goes off on the inside, see, because your peace should be a thing that's a steady. It shouldn't just come and go. It should be like a steady place inside of you. So the only way that God can come a lot of times and let you know something's wrong is that something gets interrupted. He doesn't really take away the peace, but there's something about it that you feel like there's an interruption. There's an interruption taking place. The problem is that so many Christians don't even have the groundwork of peace. They don't have the beginning part of peace, and so they don't know if they're being interrupted. They don't know if it's the same way they feel every day or if it's God interrupting their peace. Well, how can I know? Well, spending a lot of time with him. Spending a lot of time with him. Let me read from the Amplified. Colossians 3:15 says this, and let the peace, soul harmony, which comes from the Christ rule, act as an umpire. I like that. Act as an umpire continually in your hearts, deciding and settling with finality all questions arise in your minds, in that peaceful state to which, as members of Christ, one body, you were also called to live and be thankful, appreciative, giving praise to God always. Hallelujah. How many are thankful for the peace of God? That's a fruit of your born-again spirit. That's everything. That's something that's innate. It was placed in there from the very beginning. Now, it will increase as things of the flesh fall off. It will increase as the more time that you spend with God. But the as I said, the compass in your life, the thing that is supposed to be leading you, yes, is the Holy Ghost, yes, is the Word of God, but it's that check of peace. It's that understanding of peace. Psalms 23, boy, that's one of our favorite peace scriptures. Turn there with me. Hallelujah. Holy, holy, holy. Hallelujah. Turn to somebody and say, you sure look holy. Praise be to God. This is the most quoted psalm of the Old Testament. But nevertheless, it's one that we have to lay down. I mean, have you ever had to lay down your head in this psalm? Praise God. Are you with me tonight? Hallelujah. For the sake of the tape, there are people here besides for myself. Hallelujah. The Lord is what? Whose shepherd is he? You're somebody else's? So you've got to get to a place where he's intimate. You're intimate with him. See, that's where peace comes from. Well, it comes about by the first stage of the born-again nature. But there's a lot of Christians that don't have peace. Because the peace is being stopped by strongholds of the soul. But guess what? The more that you spend time with him. He says here, this man that wrote this spent a lot of time with God his Father. David, sitting on the hills of Judea, sitting on the hills, watching the sheep. The word says here, he wrote, the Lord is my what? Shepherd. He is my shepherd. And I shall not what? I shall not want. I don't know how many times that you may have to say that. I don't know how many times that you may have to rehearse that. But the trouble is not in the spirit realm, it's in the soul. It's not in the place of where Christ dwells, where peace is not coming to its full capacity. It's in the realm of the mind. It's in the realm of the emotions. But David came to a conclusion there that he said, I shall not want. If he is my shepherd, then every part of my life is going to be taken care of. Every part of who I am, spirit, soul, and body, is going to be taken care of by my Father. He maketh me. I love that because there is a place that we can come to. We're all striving for it. But it's almost like the Lord just totally takes charge. The word says in John that perfect love does what? It casts out fear. It doesn't negotiate with fear. It actually puts fear in a WWF. It puts it in a headlock and pulls it out of your emotions. So you cannot have it. You can't have love and fear at the same time. So the more that you pour love in, it just like it's filling up whatever the content. It might be a content of fear. But the more that you flush that vessel with love, then fear is going to be cast out. You don't have to ask it to be cast out. You can confess it to be cast out. But that's actually one of those areas that even if you're not confessing as much, but you're going into his love, you're going into his peace, it will be cast out. It will be cast out. He maketh me. God will make you. In other words, he'll take charge of you and he'll begin to control your life in such a way that he makes you to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still or quiet waters. How many of you ever pray for a quiet mind? It's like at times the mind can get so busy, it's like you want to just hear some conductor say, quiet on the set. Be quiet. Well, there's just only one problem is that as long as the soul is in control, it's just going to go from one thought to the next, and it won't get quiet. But there is a quiet place in him. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He restoreth. The word restores here it's a Hebrew word, and it means to turn back. It means to turn back, bring back your soul into a place of restoration. Now the soul is, as we said, it's the place that has to be restored. He restoreth my soul, and he leads me in paths of righteousness, what? For his name's sake. Praise God. Now this is the Holy Spirit taking control of your life. This is his GPS, and praying in tongues, as we've said, praying in tongues is dictating your future. Where I'm at today is what I prayed in 5 years ago or 6 months ago. What I'm praying today is also praying about my present, but it's praying about my future. And he is leading me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. Hallelujah. In other words, when I get there, I know that I'll be there on a path of righteousness, not because I willed it even so much, but because somehow my spirit fell into it and brought my soul along with it, because the Word says here, the Holy Spirit says here, that he will lead us in paths of righteousness. Well, thank God for the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Praise God for the leadership of the Holy Spirit. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Some of you are in that place. That's the evil day. That's the place where it feels like you're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, I know this is all prophetic concerning Christ, but this is also us. We go through these places. And in him, we live and move and have our being. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear what? No evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And I'm thinking, God, just make them go away. I just don't even want them. And God says, no, here's better yet. I'll let you eat and drink right in the midst of it. I'll let you joy right in the midst of while that, we read it, I think I read it or quoted it or said something about it a few weeks ago or a month or so ago. I think it's in Psalms. It says, my troubles have increased. They're like bees around me. I mean, I don't know how many bees can be in one swarm. Marty can tell you. Maybe there could be hundreds. Maybe there could be thousands. I don't know. And sometimes it's like it's not just one bee, it's a whole bunch of them. It's like there's no way to just swat one. Your troubles have increased in so much that it's like there's no way to escape. And God says this. He says that you're going to have to just sit down right in the presence of your enemies and enjoy yourself in peace until the... And in fact, what God is trying to do is this. He's trying to make more of us. He's not the one that's brought the trial, but he's wanting us to know that, look, I'm preparing you for the future. I'm preparing you for bigger events. One thing that I've never liked to hear is people say is, and I've said it to so many, and I've had it said to me by Pastor Dave. He says, oh good, you know, you're going to get through this, but just expect when you get through this, there'll be a bigger devil come along. And I never really wanted to hear that. I still don't want to hear that. My flesh doesn't want to hear that. But the fact of the, or the truth of the matter is that there's a place in him that you can rest knowing this, that he says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. Hallelujah. That's the anointing of the Holy Spirit. That's that peace harmony. That's that place where the Holy Spirit just says, okay, yes, there's a lot of surroundings around you, but here's my peace. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will do what? I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And as Homer has well taught us, that's not this building. Hallelujah. That's that habitation of the Lord. That's that presence of the Lord. Isaiah 26. Let's just saturate our soul just a little bit more with scriptures of peace. Hallelujah. He said in the day, verse 1, he says, in the day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Now it's talking about us, the church, because it's prophesying here. He's prophesying here concerning us, this righteous nation. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose what? Mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. You've heard me tell you this before, that the Hebrew here does not say perfect peace, it says peace, peace. It says the word shalom, shalom. In other words, it's you read it like this, thou wilt keep him in shalom, shalom, whose mind is stayed on thee. What is it saying? It's saying there is a peace that passes all understanding. It says that there is a peace, there is a literal place where peace is backed up by peace. In other words, peace causes you to know, I don't know how to explain it other than the fact or the truth of, have you ever had peace? It felt like you had peace, but your peace was being invaded by the thought of, I don't know how long this peace is going to last. Well, that's not full peace. Full peace is when you say, okay, I'm not holding on to peace. Sometimes, you get this, have you seen those cartoons where they're saying if you run to the end of your rope, tie a knot and hang on? Well, I'd rather do that than let go. I would. But there's a better place than that. There's a better place than holding on to peace. It's a place where peace holds on to you. It's a place where peace, where shalom, shalom, just absolutely shields you and absolutely is your foundation under every thought and every motivation. Trust it. He says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Now here's the key. Here's the key to peace. Here's the part of our weaponry. How do I stay in peace? He says, by keeping our mind on the Lord. By staying. How do I keep my mind on the Lord? Well, praying in tongues is one of those ways. But even then, your mind can drift. As much as you possibly can, keep rehearsing the Word of God. Meditate the Word of God. Go to sleep thinking about the Word of God. Get a scripture. Well, I don't know many scripture. Well, let's all learn one tonight and you'll rehearse it. And you're going to know one scripture. Jesus wept. Everybody say, Jesus wept. Okay, you just learned one scripture. But learn some comforting scripture and say it over and over and over and over again in your thoughts. That's keeping your mind on the Lord. Worshiping is keeping your mind on the Lord. I'll go to sleep. In my sleep, I'm just saying, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Worship you, Lord. Trust in the Lord. Verse 4 says, trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is what? Sometimes strength. What? Everlasting strength. He bringeth down them that dwell on high, the lofty city. He layeth it low. He layeth it low, even to the ground. He bringeth it even to the dust. The foot shall tread it down, even the feet of the poor and the steps of the needy. The way of the just is upright, thou most upright. Dost weigh the path of the just. Yea, in the way of judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. The desire of our soul is in thy name, to remember and to the remembrance of thee. With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. You see this continual place? In the night, in the morning, at all times. And I know many of you, most of you are having to work and you're having to go through your day. But you know your spirit never sleeps. And your spirit can be meditating on the Lord. You can set it into a place where it's meditating on the Lord even when you're doing a lot of other things. Even when you're very busy doing a lot of other things. And one of the best ways to do that is to learn how to pray in tongues under your breath. Hallelujah. And sometimes I get a little carried away and I don't realize it. And I know some people probably in restaurants or in banks or this and that or other are wondering, what is that guy mumbling about? It shouldn't be that noticeable. But it is a way to keep yourself continually in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. This is peace. With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. And when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Well, that's what we want to do. We want to teach this city righteousness. Praise God. Hallelujah. Father, we just love you. We thank you for your peace, that soul harmony, that place of But it comes through knowing you and staying in you and staying in your word. God, help us. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God. We love you, Holy Spirit. Teach us your word. Teach us your life. Teach us to go further in Christ. And we give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. How many of you love the Lord? Yeah. Praise God. We've been having some wonderful services on Sunday with a lot of people coming in here. Invite somebody this week. Tell them you know a place where you can get them healed. Praise God. So, somebody told me the other day that we were known. Was that you?
Yeah.
What did they say? Now, I don't want to brag on us, but I'm bragging on Jesus. What? Stand up and tell them what they said.
What was coming over when we had the Friday night for men, all men that Homer had not too long ago, a couple of months ago, and I invited one of my coworkers and he came in. So I was talking to him outside, and I was like, "Hey, it's time to get ready to go inside." He said, "Okay, cool." And I guess later on we spoke about it.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, through the years, it's just amazed me. It doesn't offend me. It just amazes me. The people, when they've really, really had really tough situations, like cancer or this, that, and the other, they will leave their church and come here to get prayed to go back to their church next Sunday. And I'm like, I don't get it, but it's okay. It's free of charge. I mean, I didn't pay for this. My blood didn't pay for it. It's free. You can have it. I don't know why you're going back to it. Can I go over there and get healed so I can come back? And it's okay. It's okay. It's all good. It's all good. Well, Father, bless all these, your people. And Lord, we love them. We just love them so much. Thank you, Lord, for all of them that are here. Lord, every one of them that are seated here, I just pray. In fact, I just feel your presence telling me to tell them how loved they are. And that just being here pleases you. Just making the appointment and against all hell for some of them, making it here and sitting in these seats tonight. God, you just want them to know how much you love them. We release that love over their life. And may they go home and may they rest in peace. And may we just get up tomorrow and go about our day going forward in Christ, knowing your peace like we've never known it before. Lord, we bless the offering of whatever is to be received tonight. May the hand of God be upon it. And we give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. We'll have something up here. Please bring something if you have it. Hallelujah. We love you, and you're blessed. Be blessed. Amen.